Welcome to Sleep Wells Podcast. I am your host, Shannon Glenn. This is episode number 19. Today I have a guest on. It's one of our fellow Sleep Well sleep specialists, Jamie Burns. Jamie is a clinical psychologist as well as a sleep specialist. I feel very blessed to have her on our team. And today she's going to talk about helping your child manage fear and anxiety at bedtime. This is something that I think all parents have experienced with their children at one point or another as they become toddlers, preschool, and school-aged children. I think we've all experienced this, and there's nothing, no parent wants their child to experience fear or be scared, especially around bedtime. Jamie is going to give you a wealth of information and very applicable tools that you will be able to implement with your child to help their bedtime be a much smoother, more peaceful process. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Sleep Well's podcast. This is Jamie Burns. I'm lucky enough to be one of the sleep consultants at Sleep Well, and I thought I would bring to the table a conversation about helping children manage anxiety and fears at bedtime. I'm actually a licensed clinical psychologist as well as a certified pediatric sleep consultant, and I have a lot of conversations with families around how we can help our children at bedtime if they start to become fearful or they seem to have some extra stress or worries. And so I want to talk about some tools that we can try to give our children to help them with these, managing these emotions and these difficult feelings and struggles that they may have and bring into the bedtime arena. One piece that I really want to emphasize for parents is it's really important to acknowledge feelings and then ask children how they can help themselves to work through it. We want to empower our children that fear, anxiety, stress, worries are all real, and those are all hard feelings to have. But we also want them to understand that we do believe that they can get through it with practice. When we emphasize our children's worries or anxieties or stresses that they bring to us, or we try too hard to change things in their environment to make them feel better, we can inadvertently give them the message that it is too big of a feeling for them to manage. So I want to really help parents understand that the message we want to bring is a balance between acknowledging the feelings that our children are experiencing and helping them develop strategies for managing those feelings. So it's all about empowering them to be able to deal with these things that we all have to deal with. All of us can experience worries, anxieties, fears at the ends of our day and struggle to get out of those spiraling thought processes. So we want to make sure that we're giving our children those tools so that they can make it through those experiences successfully. So I want to start and give you some of those strategies. Something that's important to note before I start is that we really need our children to be able to practice these strategies at other times of the day than bedtime. So I do want you introducing these different ways to manage things in the daytime and practicing them frequently so that when it is bedtime and a fear creeps up or a worry or anxiety, your child is able to access a tool that they have learned and that they have practiced with you. So we don't want to just introduce these things just at bedtime because then it becomes very hard for them to be able to implement these skills and tools and utilize them well. So one of them that I really like, and this can be used for younger children, I would say even as young as maybe 2.5, 3 years old, is the idea of blowing away your worries or throwing your worries out the window. You can talk with your child about where should we put these worries? What should we do with them? I have had children give me examples of blinking away their worries, of shooting them off into space. of blowing them into balloons and releasing their balloons into the sky. But it's just a general idea of giving your child a concrete way to think about what they can do with those worries, and then having them talk in fantasy about what they would do. So let's say they're on their way to school and they're feeling worried about something. You can talk about, should we throw that worry out the window? What should we do with that worry? And help your child be able to come up with some strategies. And again, if we've utilized that language throughout a day, or we've talked about how we do that ourselves, it's easier then for our child to be able to access that strategy at bedtime if they're feeling worried about something. Another one that I think is helpful is called four-point breathing. And I think four-point breathing can be done with young children, but I think my four-year-olds in particular really enjoy this because of the number four. This is a strategy that I've actually gotten from Brené Brown, but also it's a strategy that has been utilized with yoga teachers and even with Navy SEALs and things like that. But the general strategy and the way you can teach this to a child is to actually draw a square on a piece of paper, or have them draw a square on a piece of paper if they're able to do that. The way that we want to introduce this is we're going to breathe in through our nose through the count of four, and it doesn't need to be 4 seconds, just the count of four. Hold our breath for the count of four, and then breathe out through your mouth the count of four, and hold for four. When we're demonstrating this for children, we do want to sort of exaggerate the exhale so that they can understand we do want to try to release all of our breath. So breathe in through your nose for the count of four, hold for four, out through your mouth for the count of four, and hold for four. So that's called our four-point breathing. And again, you want to be utilizing these throughout the day. Maybe you're taking a walk, you can stop and do some four-point breathing. Maybe you're in the between reading books and you do four-point breathing. So you want to sort of scatter these strategies throughout your day. Another strategy that I really enjoy is from the book The Whole Brain Child with Daniel Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson. It's actually a really great resource for understanding how our children can sort of get stuck into these difficult emotions. The main idea is that we want to help children understand that they can have some sense of control over the things that they are focusing on in their life and what they are putting their attention towards. So the way that we want to introduce this for children is that we want to play a game with them, which I call, or it's called in the book, the SIFT game, S-I-F-T. And that stands for sensations, images, feelings, thoughts. So the way we want to introduce this game to children is that we're going to talk through each of those different components and give them an example yourself first, and then have them give an example. So for sensation, we want our child to name something going on in their body. Now, this is difficult for young children to understand, so you really want to help them put this into concrete terms. So if they're sitting, you would want to say, like, you can feel your body on the chair, and does the chair feel hard or soft? You can feel your clothes on your body. Do they feel smooth or do they feel itchy? You might be able to wiggle your toes in your shoes. What does that feel like? You might be able to feel your tummy grumbling if you're hungry. You might be able to feel the temperature in your body. You could feel hot. You could feel cold. So you want to give your child an understanding of what we mean by sensations in their body. And you can also help them use their senses to talk about this as well. So you can not only talk about what's going on in their body, but also what do you hear with your ears? What do you feel with your hands? Can you taste anything in your mouth? So if you're eating a snack or something, you can have them describe what that experience feels like. So sensations is something going on in your body or using your senses. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you taste? What can you touch? For images, images are pictures in your mind. I think that's a little bit of a harder concept for younger children. So I often suggest that you'll want to use memories. And again, you'll want to try to give them a little bit of a prompt. So can you tell me something you remember that was funny? Can you tell me something that you remember that made you really happy? Can you tell me something that you remember that was really silly? And then you'll want to give an example for your child. So images are pictures in your mind, and memories are usually a good way to introduce that experience for children. Then we want to talk about feelings, the F in SIFT. Feelings. Help them put a name to or identify feelings. How are you feeling right now? Again, with children, we're going to want to give them the words. You can feel happy, sad, frustrated, annoyed, angry, bored, tired, shy. We want to try to give them as many different feeling words as we can so that they can try to identify. And it's also fine if they give you multiple examples, so they're feeling multiple things at once. And then for thoughts, we want to prompt our children, what's happening in your mind right now? What's one thing that you're thinking of? And again, you want to try to give your child an example. Like you're thinking, what are we having for dinner? Or you're thinking, how long till somebody in the family's coming home? You want to go through these examples multiple times a day. So going through SIFT, sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts. The reason we want to get our child more comfortable going through that exercise is we want to be able to demonstrate to them that we can shift to different aspects. So if we're feeling sad about something, we can use our sensations, things that are going on in our body or our senses. We can go to a different image, like a memory of something that made us feel calm or feel happy or something that was silly. We can use our thoughts to think about something else that's happening in our day. And this can sometimes empower our children to understand that we can move our focus and we can help ourselves shift into a different state, if that makes sense. So I really think this is really empowering tool and strategy to use with children. And again, you're going to want to practice getting into the habit of going through all of those different components so that if your child is stuck on one piece, like a feeling or stuck on a thought or stuck on a sensation, you can help them shift to one of the alternatives. Something that sort of goes along under this similar vein is to change the channel or help your child understand how can we change the channel about what's going on. What I mean by that is we're going to have to help our children identify the other channels that they actually have access to. So you'll have to help your child think about different channels. You might have the vacation channel. And if there's the vacation channel, you're going to want to talk in detail with your children or your child about what is on the vacation channel. You're going to want to go into details about who was there. What activities did you do? What did you eat there? What did you experience? What kinds of things do you remember that made you happy? That can be the vacation channel, the park channel. We all go to the park and the playground with our kids. So what do we do at the park? Describe each of the things that are there, the swings, the slide. What are your favorite things there? What do you do with a friend at the park? Do you walk there? Do you drive there? Make the experience as detailed as possible. There can be the favorite foods channel and talk with your child about what are your favorite foods? What do you enjoy most? What are some of the treats that you wish you could have right now? You might have the pet channel or the puppy channel or the kitten channel, the people who love me channel. And again, you'll want to talk in detail with your child about the people in their lives that care about them and love them, the people that they enjoy visiting. Talk about those memories. And then if your child feels like they are stuck, for example, on the worry channel, you can acknowledge what's on the worry channel right now, and your child can talk about that with you. And then you can talk with them about, do you want to stay on the worry channel or would you like to change the channel? And what channel would you like to change it to? And help your child be able to shift the gears. If their TV goes back to the worry channel, you say, yeah, that happens sometimes. That worry channel seems like it's pretty strong for you. Let's shift to another one and help your child be able to shift gears, even if they have to do that many, many times, which many of us do, and help your child to do that shifting process, to be able to help them have some power over whether or not they would like to stay on that space where there's worries and there's fears, or whether they'd like to shift over to something else. So I call that changing the channel. The other thing that can be really helpful for children is the calm place or the happy place visualization. The way you'll want to introduce this to your child is you'll want to say, hey, do you have a place in your mind or a place that we have been before that really makes you happy or really makes you calm or really makes you feel good? However you want to introduce that to them, that would make sense. When they name that place, you will want to go into details among the various senses in as much detail as possible. So what I mean by that is say, all right, in this calm place, what do you see there? And you want your child to describe to you, is it light there? Is it kind of dark? Is there different shapes? Can they see different colors? You want them to describe in as much detail as possible what they notice in that space, what they can see. Then you want to go to smells. What smells are there? Are there strong smells? Are there more subtle smells? Can you smell a couple different things, or is there just one thing that you're smelling? Then you'll want to move on to touch. What can you touch there with your hands, and what does it feel like? Is it rough? Is it smooth? Is it cold to the touch, or is it warm? Is it something cozy that they can put on themselves like a blanket? You'll want to describe those things in detail. What are different things that they might touch there? What about we shift into listening? What do you hear in this calm place? Are there loud sounds or quiet sounds? Can you hear multiple different things? And then taste. And taste sometimes isn't in these places, but you'll want to ask. They might have incorporated something in there. And what does it taste like? Does it taste sweet? Does it taste salty? Can you taste the temperature of it? Is it cool? Is it something warm that you're tasting? And again, you're going to want to go into a lot of detail around all of these sensory experiences that your child would be having in this calm place visualization. And as you take them through this place, at the end, you'll want to remind them that they can go to this place in their mind anytime they need to. And you'll want to introduce this idea multiple times when they don't need it. So you'll just be walking along and you'll say, hey, let's go back to that calm place you were telling me about. Tell me again what it was like. Tell me what you saw there. What did you hear? What did you smell? What did you taste? What did you touch? And continue to have those conversations so that when your child does need it, because they're worried or because they're scared of something, they have that as an anchor for themselves. So that's called our calm place visualization. Another technique that I think is really helpful for children, I would say probably children over the age of 4 for this one, is yoga nidra. Now, yoga nidra is something you can find online. You can find it on YouTube. You can also find it through iTunes. You can find recordings. You can also go to an app that I really like called Insight Timer. And there's lots of different yoga nidra recordings on there, both for children and for just general usage. What we want to do is find one that feels like it's comfortable for your child, either a recording, or I'm going to give you sort of the basic structure of yoga nidra, and you can actually take your child through the practice if it feels like that would be the most comfortable way for them to learn it. It should be about 3 to 5 minutes. There are certainly longer versions, but if you want to be able to use this, especially as part of a bedtime routine, we don't want it to be too long. The first component, and again, you don't have to use all of these components. You can find several that your child might find helpful and use those over and over. But I just want to give you each one so that you can use them and see which ones are most helpful. The first one is just to notice your breath. Notice your breath going in and out of your nose and your belly going up and down as you breathe. and you'll want your child to notice their breath for several inhales and exhales. The next part that you're going to do for yoga nidra is called progressive muscle relaxation. What you'll want to do is you can either start at the top or the bottom of their body, and you want to have them tighten and relax their muscles. And while they're doing that, you want them to inhale and tighten their muscles, hold it for a moment, exhale and relax their muscles. So if you wanted to start at the bottom, you could go feet, inhale, tighten your muscles in your toes and scrunch up your feet, hold that for a moment, exhale and release. Then you'll go to the legs. Then you would go to the thighs and have them tighten there. And then you would move up and tighten the stomach. Then you would have them use their shoulders, and shoulders would be putting their shoulders up as high as they can to their ears. Again, inhale and tighten, hold, exhale and release. And then going into their arms, their hands, again, inhale, tighten, hold, exhale, release. And then their face, and just kind of scrunching up their face. And then the last part you can do is inhale and tighten up everything in their body, their hands, their shoulders, their face, their belly, their legs, their feet, tighten up all of their muscles, hold a moment, and then release. And that's called progressive muscle relaxation. The next part, and this might be for a little bit of older children, is to count their breaths. So you can start with the number 40, you can start with the number 25, you can start with the number 10 if it feels like you have a younger child and you want to start there. And you would have them breathe in, 25, if you're going to start there, breathe out, 24, breathe in, 23, breathe out, 22. And you would want them to be doing the counting in their minds, not counting aloud, and reminding them if you lose count, just start again at 25 and be kind to yourself, count slowly, and keep going back and forth, having them count the numbers and go backwards. The next piece to yoga nidra, or another part that you can incorporate, is to go through your body and imagine that a star is shining a light on your body. And depending on the age of your child, you can be more or less detailed about the parts. So if you have an older child, you would have the light shining upon their left hand thumb, their index finger, middle finger, ring finger, pinky, palm, wrist, forearm, elbow, shoulder, and you would want to go slowly through each part and remind them that they're all filled with the light from the star. And then you would move on to the right hand and do your right thumb, index finger, middle finger, ring finger, pinky, palm, wrist, forearm, elbow, shoulder, etc. And then you would go all the way down to the feet, do the same thing on the left, the right. If you have a younger child, you would want to say the star is shining the light on your body. And each time I shine the light, I want you to think about this part of your body. Think about, you would just do your left hand, your left arm, your left elbow, your left shoulder, your right hand, your right arm, your right elbow, your right shoulder, your belly, your legs, your knees, you know, and you would just do it like that with bigger parts of the body, so that they, that you're not going to lose their attention. And you talk about how each part is filled with starlight, and then you end with your heart that is filled with starlight. And then you're going to imagine the starlight going all through your whole body, and you share the light in your heart by thinking of all the people you love and all the people who love you, and send that starlight out to them. And if you want to incorporate some specific names in there of people you want to wish well, you can certainly add that in. Think, and then you want to say, think of all the people in the world who could use extra love, extra kindness, and send your starlight out to them. Now breathe into your belly. Think of the starlight moving in and out with your breath. And you'll want to end with something similar to saying to your child, you are wonderful and important, and the world needs your light. So you want to end in a way where you are then bringing starlight back and giving it back to your child. So again, when we're thinking about yoga nidra, these can be as long or as short as is helpful, but you'll want to introduce the different components and see what's helpful. So again, those different components are notice your breath, progressive muscle relaxation, breathing and counting backwards in your mind, going through your body and imagining that a star is shining light on different parts of the body, and you can get as detailed or as general as is helpful depending on your child's age. Then you want to imagine the starlight going all through your body, sharing the light in your heart, thinking of all the people you love, all the people who love you, sending out that starlight to people who could use extra love and kindness. Then breathe into your belly, breathe in and out starlight, and then end with something that gives your child back some of that light. Okay, so that's yoga nidra. I really enjoy those at nighttime. I think they can be very, very helpful for children. Another component that you can add in there is guided meditations. I think these are also, there are so many out there now that you can find on YouTube, on iTunes. There are so many apps out there. One that is my particular favorite that I would recommend is by Christy Ann Kerr. She has many different CDs out there on Amazon that you can get, and I believe she has an app as well. One that I have used personally and have found to be very effective for clients is called Mermaids and Fairy Dust. And there's meditations of all different lengths where children are invited to relax their bodies, blow away their worries and concerns, and be able to do visualizations. I think she has a beautiful way of presenting it for very young children. So I would say, you know, 3 or 4 years old on would be a good option for that one. But there are many different guided meditations out there that you can find. Or if you listen to enough of them, you'll be able to guide your child through. And the guided meditations are sort of similar to the calm place visualization. So those are opportunities to kind of tie in another strategy that you've already taught them. Another one that I like to do that I think can be helpful for children to sort of close the bedtime routine is to say to them, where do you want to go in your dreams? And again, using all of their senses to describe, where are we going together? Where are we going to meet up? Or where would you like to go in your dreams tonight? Where, you know, and have them go to sleep thinking about where they would like to go in their dreams. And if they've said it in enough detail, that really helps them to concrete that process and be able to go through that independently. Something that's important to note is that if your child does feel like they are coming to bed with more worries or more fears or more stresses, it can be helpful to be trying to help them manage these things throughout the day. Make sure your children are getting enough physical activity throughout the day and moving their bodies to help move that stressful energy within their body. And giving them some of these tools to utilize throughout their day makes it more accessible for them as well at night. I hope this was helpful. I hope that some of these strategies will help your children to be able to get more restful sleep and to be able to go to bed in a way that feels more calm for them. Thank you, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Wow, what a great episode. I hope you were able to learn some tips for your kiddo as much as I was. Super grateful for Jamie coming on today and sharing all of those very useful and applicable bedtime strategies to help your child. If there is any anxiety or fear around bedtime, any one of those tools is going to work for your child. I can promise you that. She gave us many options to pick from. Every kid's a little different, so you might have to experiment with one or two of them before you find which one does work for your child. But I promise you, of all the things she recommended, one of those will work. So I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Thanks so much for listening. We will not be back next week. We're taking a week off. We'll be back the following week with a new episode, new content. Until then, I hope you sleep well.